Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, January 28th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. Paul Hoffman from St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio. Good morning, Dr. Hoffman.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study God's Word. Tell us about St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, we're in the middle of things, I'm always happy to say. We're what we call the Old Brooklyn neighborhood. And we really try to reach out to the people here. And as we jokingly say, we're like between the three interstates. And that makes us really convenient for district things, too, and helping out the church at large. We have a lot of different meetings here. I want to mention, too, we even have a seminary class. They come here every August. And we have about 20 pastors that come. And we get them from Concordia Seminary St. Louis. So it's just the thing that we like to do, and I really love my people. I've been here 25 years, and
wow.
After that, they sort of trust you. You know, if you try something new, they'll say, well, we'll give you a chance there, Pastor, because we trust you. So it's interesting.
Well, glad that you're there serving God's people, and not just the congregation, but that the congregation can also serve the district and others as well. Thanks for doing that. We are studying Romans chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 27. That's our New Testament reading for today. Anything you'd like us to know about Romans 16 before we dig into the text today?
Well, humorously speaking, I talked to some of my pastor friends, and I said, we're talking Romans 16. Now go, Romans 16. I mean, you know, you think of Romans 3 and Romans 5, you know, this wonderful masterpiece of St. Paul's. And then all of a sudden, here you get Romans 16, and it's just kind of interesting. I just noticed all those names, which means Paul really had a heart for these people. That's in Romans 16, 1 and following. I just want to mention, too, being Ohio State, there is Urbanus. And that's in verse 9. And we have an Urban Meyer from Ohio State. So isn't that interesting? He's in the Bible. And then in 17 and following, Paul just goes into this thing that sounds kind of pedestrian. You know, be careful about these different things. But I think it's important pastorally. So it's like you see the masterpiece from 1 to 11, you know, this wonderful thing about God's love and what he does for us sinners. And then it kind of ends in a pedestrian way, but he doesn't. He's really concerned, and I think this part, he really shows his pastoral heart for these people.
Very good, very good. Well, it's not a very long reading today, but we're ready to dig into this text and see what we can learn from it today. We're studying Romans chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 27 with the Reverend Dr. Paul Hoffman, pastor at St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio. If you have questions or comments about the text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into Romans chapter 16 this morning. Let's take a look at the text. Verse 17, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that has been taught. Avoid them, he says.
Yes, and that's really important in our world today, especially. And again, like I said, you have this wonderful text about what Paul has been saying in Romans. Mm-hmm. Notice his heart there. In fact, in the Greek, it says, first of all, parakalo. It's I urge you, I encourage you. It's really, you know, when I read that, I just said, wow, he has a heart for these people. He calls them brothers, you know, brothers in Christ, and he just named them. And I just found that so fascinating. He named them all, that he really has a heart for these people. But watch out for all the divisions and scandals. And throughout the history of the church, isn't that the truth? You know, and what can be scandalized? Oh, the fact that one person could die for all people. That's crazy. You know, in our human mind, gee, that this is amazing. And so people who try to figure it out themselves, I think, start, you know, as they say, causing divisions, and they're causing scandals, and going away from the teaching that you have learned.
Avoid them, he says. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites.
Yeah.
And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought of more, you know, in terms of like television commercials. You know, we got the Super Bowl coming on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this sweet talk. And what they all tell you, they say, try this, and then you'll find your salvation. You know, in all these different ways, they use a lot of smooth talk. And what do? They go for our appetites. They really do. You know, that we really want to have these kind of things. And if we have the right food, right car, all these things, we're going to do fine. And we discover it just doesn't work. It's only being declared righteous in Jesus Christ. And that's why I was thinking about it with Super Bowl coming and those, you know, billion-dollar commercials. What do they want you to do? They want you to forget about the Lord and just go after our own things, go after our own appetites and stuff like that. And, you know, it's so important to stay there with the Lord.
Verse 19, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil.
Mm-hmm. Notice again, talk about, here's the word, another word I don't think people like today, obedience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what does that mean? You obey what the Lord says and, you know, and just follow it that way. And we're called, as Jesus even says, if you love me, you know, you'll keep my commandments. And we deal with that a lot, even pastorally, with people that say, oh, I know Jesus is my Savior. Believe me, I do this. I talk to people, you know, and say, oh, have you been to church lately? And, well, I know that, I call this the Lutheran response, I know Jesus is my Savior. That means I'm set, you know. And no, one thing of obedience is the third commandment. You know, we come there and we're coming to worship, and worship is so important. And in a way, it still is obedience, too. And we might, you know, it's a free kind of thing. But once in a while, you just say, I'm doing this because I'm obeying the Lord. It's like Luther said, we fear and love God. And the fear part, again, is going to our evil nature, and we say, we got to do this. We have to obey the Lord. I don't think we really like that word at all, obedience. But I think that's what Paul is calling us to do here. It's a heart for the Lord. And, yep, we're going to have to obey. And that's the word that he uses there, that they show obedience to him in all things.
Mm-hmm.
But you can rejoice. Wait a minute. He just says, but over you I rejoice. So there's rejoicing in obedience. Now that sounds strange, you know. How can you rejoice about that? You know, you do, though, that you know you're really following the Lord, and, you know, you're really doing what he says. Later on, in fact, he uses the word, which is kind of strange to me. I finally looked up in the Greek. It really means more to show integrity. It says you're innocent. And in the Greek, it really means more your integrity, which means your words and your actions work together. You know, that what you say and you live that way, it all works together, especially with the Lord. So it just calls us really to do that and to follow up. And as Paul says, when you obey, that just gives him joy. And isn't that true? You know, you see how a person says, I'm going to follow the Lord. Gives me joy, too. And maybe we should reaffirm people for doing that, too.
Going back to verse 18, this came to mind as I was looking at it again. They deceive the hearts of the naive. Do we ever think of ourselves as naive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, quite often we don't, I would think. As we're reading this, we're thinking, oh, that's about other people. But,
yeah.
you know, we don't think of ourselves as being deceived, having our hearts deceived, because we don't think of ourselves necessarily as naive.
Yeah. We got it all figured out. Yeah. But it can easily happen, you know, and I think that is a nice thing for us all to keep in mind, you know, as I'm using right now the image of commercials and stuff like that, which is, you know, flattery,
mm-hmm.
smooth talk and different things like that. And boy, we really, you know, have to really follow it and to see that we can get naive. Isn't that interesting? Even a pastor can do that, you know, and it's true. And we have to say, I'm going to stick there with a. We had a meeting with pastors, and we're talking about that now. Is that, frankly, church attendance is down, and people don't come. In fact, the funny thing about it is that they start saying, "Well, I'm a regular." I had this already, by the way. I'm a regular Christian. I come on Christmas and Easter. And you go, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. And they really say, "I'm a regular attender. I just come twice a year regularly." That's sort of the society we're getting into a lot. And we just said we got to keep, you know, sharing the word and keep sharing about the Lord Jesus. And we can't just go into cute things all the time necessarily or flattery, but we have to really just, you know, stick there with the word and keep planting the seeds. And it's not easy in our society these days. It really isn't. I hate to say I'm a little bit older. I can remember back, you know, in the 50s and the 60s when Christianity was it, and you had the blue laws, everybody went to church. It's not that way these days, and you just have to keep reaching out to your people and say, you know, you hear the Lord Jesus, like what Paul's saying here, don't fall away, don't be, you know, flattered, keep following him, and it's so important.
We are studying the daily New Testament reading today. We're studying with Pastor Hoffman from St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying our text today in Romans chapter 16 with Pastor Hoffman. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at kfuo.org. Then click on Support Us or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
You are not happy with your employer who gave a promotion that you should have had to someone else. So you go and speak to the pastor. Does he give you law or gospel? It's the subject of our Insight Wednesday on the next Law and Gospel as we continue with our study, When Do You Give Law? When Do You Give Gospel?
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Wednesday, January 28th, 8:18 Central Time. We are studying the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor with us on the phone today, the Reverend Dr. Paul Hoffman from St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio. If you have questions or comments on this text, we're in Romans 16. Give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, shall we pick up at verse 20?
Oh, sure.
All right. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
Yeah. Well, I found that one interesting. You know, to me, that goes back to the reference of Genesis 3:15, that he, you know, Jesus is going to crush Satan. There, and I thought, you know, I don't remember seeing it in the New Testament, but there it is. And boy, isn't that the key to it all, that the God of peace, who brings us peace in Christ, crushes the devil's head. And again, that's something we have to be aware of. I think a lot of people kind of dismiss Satan, make him a cute little thing, and, you know, even devil's food cake and stuff like that. There's the New Jersey Devils. But in all this, he is nothing to be laughed at. Again, then we become naive and just say, you know, no big deal. He is a power of evil, And we have to really regard it that way. And the great thing we know is that the God of peace will crush him too. Of course, that's finally looking at the end times, but it's still, to me, a reminder all the time. We're on a side, and the devil's a loser. You know, it's really that way. Reminds me of that movie called Passion of the Christ. Remember how it started? It showed Jesus crushing the devil's head. And as we jokingly said, we might as well left the movie because that's it. He crushes the devil's head. And that just really gives, and really does, give people a lot of peace. I've had people who say that they got temptations. We have a house across from us. They help out people who've been through drugs and alcohol. And they literally will tell me, the devil got a hold of me. But God of peace will crush him. You know, and that's a certain joy that we have, that we know he finally, as it even says in Revelation, he will flick him into the lake of fire. You know, boop, just like that. No big deal for God. He can do it. And, boy, we got to keep that in mind, that we will have victory. We sort of joke about this at Cleveland. We don't have any victories at all. And we just say, well, wait a minute. No, God gives us victory. We don't think he's a Browns fan. But we do know God gives us the victory in that regard. So we say we still have victory in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. All right. What do we know about these folks who are included here in these greetings?
Well, not too much, but notice what he still says about them. He has the heart for them. You know, he of course he has feelings about Timothy, that's been a worker. Once I hear about Lucius, not about these other guys though too, but even verse 23, Gaius, and talking about hospitality, reminds us all that really they didn't have a church building, I don't believe, until about 312 A.D. when the Edict of Milan made Christianity illegal, you know, religion. Up to that time, they were in house churches. That's all they could do. And now he's thanking them and saying that. And even to have the city directors of public works, that's kind of nice to say he's on your side. And our brothers, too. And again, how can we preach on this without pastors, what we do is add a little bit and, you know, what we can imagine that they did. But on the other hand, they're our brothers in Christ. You know, and I thought about that as I looked at the beginning part as he greeted these people. And these people, too, they're my brothers, too. And maybe someday in heaven, since we have eternity, we're going to run into these people. You know, these are people who did this. They were obedient and they held on to the faith, didn't give up whatsoever. You know, like that. I want to share a quick story. What we have here in Cleveland, we have a thing called the Cleveland Clinic. And I got a call to go visit this one man. And his name is Shane. I'll leave it like that. He's from Indianapolis. He had to have a heart transplant. And, you know, we do them here at the clinic. And I went to talk to him but just before he get his heart. By God's grace, he got, you know, a heart. And, you know, we just said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus Christ. And as he said, well, someone had to die just like Jesus died for me. And when he did that, I said, you know, I didn't know Shane, didn't know him at all, but I just felt this certain binding we have in Christ. All of a sudden, you know, then we're talking church and, you know, what is your church doing, things like that. But we still talk about Christ and say, look at that binding we have in Christ. And I really feel that way. He's back home now. He's doing really well, and we keep him in prayer. But I didn't know that man until about the middle of December. And then all of a sudden, you know, there he is. God placed him there, and he contacts me once in a while. But you just say, wow, here's this guy. And you can say that also these people, too. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're really important. Obviously, to Paul, they were important. And that's why the first part of Romans is so, you know, magnificent and compared to a symphony. I talk about that. And then all of a sudden it gets down to people. But that's the way I always thought Paul was. You know, he knew his doctrine, but he knew his people. And I find that really important pastorally. I've been there 25 years. And you start, you know, you don't just know the people. You even know it when their dogs die. When their dogs die, that's hard. They're members of the family. Cat owners, Cat owners, I'm not sure. But dog guys, oh, they take it bad, you know. And we do have a prayer. Be with that family at the loss of their dog. And they'll tell me about their aunts and uncles and stuff like that. And and I find that that's really important pastorally to say I'm with you, but more importantly, God is with you, and you know, through Jesus Christ. And it's really a joy to me to say I just dealt with one. He was burned really badly, but he held on to the Lord Jesus, and now he's in heaven. You know, and to say that to the family, it's just always been precious to me, you know. And I think that's what Paul's going after here, too, you know, and that these are really people we don't know, but they're real people. And you know what? You're going to see them. I do believe you got eternity, you know what I mean? Eternity is a long, long time. Sooner or later, we're going to run into Gaius and Tertius, and I want to run into Urbanus, of course, and Timothy, and we'll, you know, say, praise the Lord together. What a wonderful vision. I think that is his vision.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad you pointed out that for pastors, it's important for them to understand theology, to understand doctrine, but also to understand the people and to care for the people. As mm-hmm. as one fine pastor once said, the seminary makes seminarians, the parish makes the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when a pastor, or when a man is called to that office of holy ministry to serve a congregation, that we start to understand that theology as it applies in the lives of the people.
And it's so easy to apply the theology to the people. And we have, which I'm happy about, we have a prayer chain. We have an email prayer chain. And boy, people use it a lot. But the thing I like is that they use it for other people. And then we have this big, long section of people to pray for. And it's gigantic. And some of the people, what they'll do, they'll take their bulletins that we have printed and say, see, we're praying for you. And the people, we've actually had a couple people come and say, well, if these people are praying for me, I want to see what this is all about. And that's the thing I really learned, you know, through the years, is that you don't just have your people. They have friends who are hurting, and they'll tell you about your friends that are hurting, and then you got to let them know about the Lord Jesus. And this sometimes is this kind of network. And I think Paul talks about that, is that we have a network, you know, and a special network in Jesus Christ, and that he knows that we're all, as he'll say in Romans, we're sinful people and we're terrible, and yet we're forgiven in Christ and declared righteous and all those wonderful things. And that's what I like about this. You know, I said I've never done Romans 16. I kind of grumbled. I go, Romans 16. But the more I saw it, I go, oh, I see the pastor there, of what the pastor is. And I just like to share that part, that when you get to know your people, then you get to know their friends and their family and their dogs mm-hmm. and everything else. And you can apply it also to them. And our people, we have like one guy that we have on our prayer thing in the bulletin, 12 people by name. He said, I got these people. And it's kind of funny. We have a decision now, you know, our list is getting so long. Should we, you know, cut this down? And we said, no, you've got to tell us if they passed away, of course, or if, you know, if they're getting better, you know, so, you know, otherwise they keep the list going. But it's still important, you know, and it just reminds our people, you know, pray for everybody. And as you know, we've had a lot of problems here in Cleveland, and we're praying right now for the police. We had that problem with Ferguson, too, and we're praying for the police right now. That's going to be one of our big projects and everything like that. So, yeah, we've got to keep praying for that.
Mm. Well, let's take a look at this last half of the text. Let's take a look at verses 25 through 27. Mm-hmm. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a look at that. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages.
Mm-hmm. One thing I thought, you know, this could sound weird, but that's how you do things. In the Greek, it does say my gospel, but that's really what they would call not a possessive genitive. That is, I own the gospel. It's really a subjective genitive where he says, this is the gospel I'm preaching, which makes really importance, by the way. This is not, and we have to really keep that in mind. God is the one who created the gospel, and he is the one who preaches it. Because I always joke about that when people say, my God. Well, my God will help me. Paul uses it himself. But it does. It's not really possessive. No one possesses God. But God makes us his agent. And I just want to point that out there, because it's really God's gospel, and God is the one who revealed it, and it's been hidden all those years past, but now made known. And in fact, just want to point out, it's a little bit reminiscent of what he said in Romans 1:1-7. He talked about the gospel there too, and that, you know, it's been long past and now has been revealed. Although he does say to all nations that they might believe and obey him, which I think is really one of the themes of Romans that doesn't get around too much. You know, we do more that we're saved through faith, and that's very important. But I think below it, Paul's also saying we're all in this together. You know, that there is a thing. Here are our Jewish buddies here in Rome, and now here are some Gentile buddies there too. And, we just get it that way. It's interesting, in Cleveland, we have a strong Jewish contingent here, and there are people, especially Jews for Jesus, and what they still try to reach out to them and share about the Lord Jesus. But so we know a little bit about this, and they have their own situations between Reformed, Orthodox, and Conservative. So, you know, we hear that a lot more here than you would think, but we keep praying about that too. And I think Paul has that as a vision given by God, that the gospel is for everybody. Even as we discussed in our church, we even pray for Islamic people, that they return to the Lord too. We got to pray for everybody. God cares, wants everybody to be saved. And he says there are several places, he hates it when people turn away. So the gospel is, you know, God wanting us to be with him. And so we use that, you can only use that as a prayer, that he's established us by his gospel, which we preach, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And this was a mystery. It's a word to use, especially in the Greek, for something that has been hidden from the world but fulfilled in the cross, like the eternal counsel of God. It's actually, the word in Greek is mysterion, and really is like God's counsel that he knows about, which is a whole different fascinating kind of thing. Try to figure out God. We can't, you know. He's way above us. Mm. But again, as he said in verse 27, the only wise God, which is true, he's the only wise, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, and what a way to end. As I mentioned in my devotion, it's really the final crescendo. If we're going to compare Romans, which we can, as a big symphony, I kind of like Tchaikovsky's Fifth, by the way, but if we compare it to it, he still ends really strongly. You know, and to him be glory forever. And that's what we have to be doing, giving glory to God. As we look at the whole book of Romans and say, wow, which is my tendency. It was Luther's tendency, too. Wow, you know, this was the book that really does obvious the early church, because it's the first book of Paul's letters. We all go, wow. But make it a part of your life, as Paul says, avoid all those other people. And just forget about them, you know, don't go in their ways, don't be that naive, and just follow the Lord, and really just give glory to him. And I find that's really important, you know. Begin each day, first of all, just to say, Lord, I give you glory. It's like I'm working with one lady, and she's older, and she just said, she's driving her family crazy because she keeps saying, I'm ready to die, I want the Lord to take me, and different things like that, you know, which is a good Christian kind of thing. But as I said to her, no, that's true, but, you know, God's giving you another day. What can you do to God's glory? And then she looked at me, kind of funny eyes, and she says, well, I could pray. Right, pray. Not only that, I can call up people. You know what she did finally? She called up our people and started wishing them happy birthday. And she said, do you know who this is? I want to wish you a happy birthday in the Lord. And I really meant a lot to our congregation. She ended up in a nursing home on the Medicaid section, and she'd have to go out by the nurses. The nurses would have to dial the phone numbers. But she had our list of people done by the ages, and she just said, I can still do something. And so that's what she did. On my birthday, I hate to do this story, but I will. On my birthday, she called up and said, do you know who this is? I go, no, who is this? Oh, how can you do it? This is Eleanor. And, you know, she was just, I'm sorry, Eleanor. I'm sorry for doing that. But I was just teasing a little bit. But it turned out to be her ministry. And people said, and then the funny part, by the way, is that she called up even people who haven't come recently. And they said, well, I thought we better come to church because some lady wished us happy birthday. You know, and I think that's what Paul is doing here. He says, now, you know, you see the wonderful masterpiece of Romans. Now give God glory. And what can you do with your time? You know, God's giving you all time. I do that every morning. The first thing I say, thank you, God, for another day. I've also said, thank you, God, we didn't get the snow. You know, send it. You guys are 52. How can you get snow? You know, and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I feel kind of guilty. I said, you know, thank you, God, we didn't get the snow like Boston. But I did. That's how I felt. But I do say every day, thank you, God, you know, for this day. And you know, what can I do here? And I think every Christian, as he says here, to God be glory, you know. And I think it says it to us pastors. Oh, now you know all these things. You know all the things that have been said in Romans, and especially Romans 1 to 11. You know that. That's nice. Now live it, you know, and that's been revealed in you. And I really think it's important that way. And no, I sin. I've, you know, cut down people. I got to watch what I say. I admit it, you know. Here I'm on radio, I'm admitting it. But, you know, you do. And you say, you know, Lord, but let me go forward. And I feel as a pastor that it's better to, when I blow it, to come up to him and say, I blew it, and will you forgive me? You know, because there's some kind of a tendency, well, you know, I'm all-knowing and all that kind of, no, only God's all-knowing. And it just sets the example, and I've done it, you know. I've done it in the voters, which is the worst place of all. I'm sorry, I blew that, that's my mistake, will you forgive me? Yep. But we all have to do that, you know. And so, you know, as you look at 1 to 11 of Romans, you just say, what a doctrine, what a masterpiece. But Paul is saying now, be careful with all those other people. Don't you know, do anything with them. And better yet, you know, just, you know, follow the Lord and give him glory. When we give glory and when we give him thanks, great things happen. In fact, what we do in our church now, we have a blended service. And after the confession, we get the forgiveness of sins. We say, amen. And now we always say, thank you, God. You know, we really do. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. That we live a life, even after forgiveness, that we say, thank you, Lord. We started doing that in Thanksgiving, where Jesus said that to the, was no one around to give God thanks? Hint, hint. You know, give God thanks. Yeah.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Paul Hoffman from St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio, Romans chapter 16. Pastor Hoffman, thanks so much for being our guest today and helping us study this Romans 16 text.
Oh, good talking to you.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at St. James Lutheran Church in Cleveland, Ohio. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.